Good morning. Nothing like a brisk morning to get the blood pumping. We're at the last Sunday of the Pentecost season as next week, by God's grace, we turn to the end time portion of our church here. But for today, a question for you. When is the last time you have led someone or encouraged someone to commit a sin? We would like to think never. But the reality is we do this more than we realize, especially upon a close examination of our lives against God's commandments. What's the solution? That is our primary focus for today. I invite your attention to our invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness, coming before Him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His.
We are His people, the sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise.
Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow Your decrees, then I will keep them to the end.
Give me understanding, and I will keep Your law and obey it with all my heart.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness, come before Him with joyful songs.
Please stand. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. Jesus has said, as recorded in Matthew 22,
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind.
This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it.
Love your neighbor as yourself."
But we have disobeyed Him, and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your bountiful goodness, keep us safe from every evil of body and soul. Make us ready with cheerful hearts to do whatever pleases you.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. A question to ask ourselves as we hear these words: how do we express our loyalty to the God of our salvation? We hear these words. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God: gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities." David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have been with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue in joining together in our psalm for today, Psalm 73. Here we have a reminder that God's grace is not an excuse to sin. This encouragement, a reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 6. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we highlight the gospel reading, I invite you to stand for the reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 17th chapter. How often do you reflect the fact from day to day that life, it's not about you? We hear our Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you,
O Christ. Be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace may it remain yours in great abundance. And this is possible thanks to our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. in whose name we continue our focus on the scriptures this morning. Turning back to the Gospel of St. Luke, where we hear once again, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who humbly went about his work of gaining our salvation. Why does life have to be complicated, or why does it seem to be complicated? You know, there are some mornings when you're trying to find a good cup of coffee that can just get complicated. Filing taxes can get complicated. Managing doctor appointments and medications can get complicated. Building or renovation projects can get complicated with the wrinkles that come up. Then there are the failed inspections of this or of that. Worker shortages. Dead zones when it comes to internet connections. Life just is full of complications. Why is this? Why is it full of wrinkles, of emotional and physical hurt, of other negative things which can lead to disappointment and setbacks? Well, the why is because of sin in our life, in our hearts, and sin in our world. At times, we can even complicate this life by thinking more of ourselves and of our contributions to society than we ought. We can hurt our arms at times, trying to give ourselves a pat on the back for a job well done, at least rated by us to be that way. Should we be bending our arms in an attempt to be patting ourselves on the back? Jesus has an answer to that question for us. Part of that answer is just go live life as expected. But that gets complicated, doesn't it? Why does that get complicated? Well, because of sin in us. We can't avoid it. We can't avoid it because of that sinful nature that we have inherited from our parents and they from their parents and so on, going all the way back to the fall into sin by Adam and Eve. That's not an excuse for our sin, but it reminds us of why we do sin. And with sin comes complications. The ultimate complication that comes with sin, in a way we could say, is death. Physical death comes a result of sin, and then there's spiritual death. We're dead to God by nature, and then there's eternal death. But in the meantime, until we physically die, we make life complicated because of our sinful words and actions and thoughts. And at times, because of our sinful words and actions, we can cause offense to other people. And we need to be mindful of that. Whether that is real or not, I mean, again, some people may have a definition of sin that really is not sin. It doesn't fit God's definition of sin, and so they may take offense at something you said or did, which really should not cause them to be offended, and yet we need to be aware of the fact that we can cause offense. And hopefully they give us an opportunity to explain our words and actions of why that, in a sense, is not to be an offensive action. Well, at the same time, being understanding of how our words and actions can cause offense and not just to treat that lightly and blow them off like they don't care. Hearts are tender. And And so sometimes instead of just living life as we ought, we get too caught up in thinking life is about me. I got to get what I can get while I can get it at whatever the cost. Sometimes we complicate life just again because sin has an impact on others. I mean, we can lead others into sin. They may know that an action, for example, is a sin, but we encourage them to go ahead anyway. I mean, I've heard it said when you're in high school, what else are you going to do but sleep around and get high and drunk? If that's really our goal for high school, do we wonder why life gets complicated and only gets more complicated from that point forward? How often have we heard people encourage someone to sin? To go ahead and do something they should not do? And how often have we intentionally or not intentionally encouraged someone to do something they should not do? Cheating when it comes to homework. Cheating when it comes to work. Being lazy in the home and not simply doing what we can do to help around the house, but expecting others to do it. Do we cause offense to others more than we realize? Legitimate offense or not? And because of that sin that we commit ourselves and that sin that we cause others to commit, life gets complicated. And really, what it's at the heart of that sin, me, myself, and I, in a way, busy trying to pat ourselves on the back, whether it be puffing up our ego or trying to get satisfaction my way and not caring about the feelings and emotions of others. God doesn't make life complicated. We make it complicated. And thus the warnings and the encouragement from Jesus through the writers of the gospel, that we take our own sin and the sin that we cause others to commit and the sin that others commit, that we take such seriously. God takes it seriously. And so he allows there to be consequences that come with our sin and the sin of others. And even if we're not guilty of a specific sin, per se, but there are still consequences that we have to endure because we live in a sinful world, well, we recognize the cause, and we're reminded then of the solution. How seriously does God take the sin that we commit, or the sin that we lead others to commit? Whether it be something of the physical nature or emotional nature, and especially of a spiritual nature. He says it'd be better if that person had a millstone tied around their neck and they were drowned at the bottom of the sea. Some people may take offense at that word. Take it up with God. Because if you take offense at that word, then you're too busy patting yourself on the back and not willing to look at your own heart, at the sins that you offend God with and the sins that you lead others to commit by your offensive actions, whether that be through your words or through your actions. And especially when it comes to leading people away from Jesus. How often have we led people away from learning more about Jesus because of something offensive we said? Or how often have we kept people away from Jesus, like our children, because we don't feel church is important? And then we wonder why when they grow up, church is not a priority to them. If it wasn't a priority to you while they were growing up, why would it be a priority to them when they grow up? The offense that you have caused, it would be better if a millstone were tied around your neck. That's how serious God is about relationships with Him and how we are to treat those relationships. Thankfully, God is a merciful God as well. And while there is judgment, there is also mercy and forgiveness. And so the Lord God encourages us when we have sinned, or when we know someone has offended us, sinned against us, or just sinned in general and offended someone else, that we lead them to repentance, to recognize the harm that they have done to God and to one another, and repent, to be sorry for that sin. And there still may be consequences that come with that action, and yet there can be peace in the heart of the sinner. And Lord willing, peace can come to the heart of the one who was sinned against, even as they may have to deal with a consequence as a result of that sin. And how often are we to be willing to forgive? How often are we to be calling people to repentance? How often are we ourselves to be called to repentance? There is not a number to track. I mean, every day we ought to fall on our knees, so to speak, and ask for God's mercy, because every day we sin against God, and every day we sin against one another. And so every day God's mercies are rich and new, reminding us of the forgiveness that He has for us through Jesus, and how every day we have an opportunity to work on healing relationships. Is that easy to do? To forgive someone time and time again? No. But through Jesus it is possible. Thus, the importance of remaining connected to Jesus ourselves, and being mindful of the forgiveness that we have day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, help us express that to one another, to be patient as we want people to be patient with us, to help people recognize and understand what might be a sin of weakness. Again, not an excuse, but a sin of weakness versus a deliberate sin. And if they continue to sin, yes, we can call it out and say, "Are you really sorry?" But we cannot read the heart. We go through the words and they say, "Yes, you're forgiven." And with that forgiveness, the encouragement, go and don't continue in that sin. And the comfort for us, even if we think they may not be truly repentant, is that God will not be mocked, and they cannot outsmart Him. And so finally, we leave that ultimate judgment to God. And while we call out the sin of others, let us make sure that we are not actively guilty of some sin ourselves. I mean, we sin every day. Again, are we intentionally ignoring God's commands and going ahead to do what we want to do, and then in piety we call out the sin of somebody else? Jesus says that does not work either. So let us set the example of what repentance looks like, of what forgiveness looks like. And not be busy patting ourselves on the back, but rather pointing to Jesus. And so Jesus reminds us it's not just going about this life, living the life as expected, but also keeping Jesus at the center of our life. The object of our faith, the object of our life really matters. And Jesus is to be, rightly so, the object, the center of our life, of our faith. Because of His righteousness, because of what He has accomplished for us, because of what He has done with each and every one of our sins and the sins of the entire world. In love and humility, He went to the cross to pay for your sin and my sin and the sins of all. And it is finished, He said. I'm not going to bring those sins up against you again and again. They've been paid for. Go and sin no more. And so who better to keep the focus on than Jesus and His righteousness that He has won for you? And the Holy Spirit gives you claim to through the means of grace. Better to focus not on ourselves, but on the status God has given to us in and through Christ. And as we focus then in on Jesus, the true object of our faith and the object of our life, then we can go about our life living God-pleasing activities. The love of Christ compels us to do so. Rather than trying to tear someone down so that we can build ourselves up, to rather encourage and build them up, whether we get credit for it or not. God knows what we do. The world doesn't need to know. But that doesn't mean if acclamation comes our way that we can't say thank you and accept it. But God, keep it from getting to our head. Because it's not about us. I mean, think about the accomplishments of we human beings. Can you think of who is the 20th president of the United States, for example? Surely there were some great accomplishments by that president, but do we know who it is? We come and go, but what endures? The Lord and His accomplishments. And so the focus is not to be on what we accomplish. We are simply doing what we are expected to do, whatever vocation we are in. And we do it with joy and with confidence and with humility, because the focus is not about patting ourselves on the back, but giving praise to Jesus, just like King David did. And Jesus, in response to the statement, increase our faith so we can do this, he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can live this life. It's not the size of your faith or how much faith that you have that matters. Faith in Jesus enables us to live God-pleasing life, to keep Jesus at the center of our life. But the more that we are able to grow in our knowledge and understanding of Jesus in His grace, the more we can hold on and the more we can live the life that God expects of us without trying to seek credit. And so God, keep us humble as we go about living the life that He expects us to live. So that the focus is not on us, but rather on Christ. And Lord, when we do sin, call us out to repentance and remind us of the forgiveness that you have. And when others sin, Lord, let us humbly and in love call them out to lead them to repentance and the forgiveness that they have through Jesus. And may they and we then just simply be encouraged to do what God expects of us, using the gifts that He has given to us, the life that He has given to us, to just live that life to His glory, whether that be in our home. I mean, how less complicated life could be in the home if we just do what is expected of us without worrying about the credit, or if I'm a male or a female, just do the work. Or in the church, how less complicated life could be if we didn't get hurt because something didn't go my way. But long as God's way gets done, isn't that the key? Or in society, how less complicated life could be if we just would put God's ways into practice. But how do people in society know what God's ways are? Through you and me. We are to be the salt and the light in this world. In a way, you are a teacher for the world, an ambassador. God, help your light shine all the more brightly. And when someone does something good, it's okay to encourage them, to say thank you, to give them a pat on the back. So God, help us also be encouraging in that way. Bottom line, God, help us grow in our faith, in our relationship with Jesus through the Word, which we have opportunity to do so today, because if we're not connected, we're not growing. And if we're not connected and growing, then we're not living the life that God simply expects us to live. Life doesn't have to get complicated, does it? But the reality is, it does get complicated. God, help us then not get worn down by this life and all the complications in it, but simply focus on being able to live this life by doing the things that are expected of us, of all human beings, and not busy patting ourselves on the back, but rather keeping Jesus at the center of our life. Always viewing this life from His perspective. That's not complicated, is it? Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join in the confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. It's printed out for us on page 9.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated.
We say with King David, God be praised for the generosity He allows us to show back to Him through our gifts of financial resources and time and talent. And so thank you for using God's resources to His glory day in and day out. We pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank You for all that You give us day after day. You have given us Your precious Word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Heavenly Father, we pray that You shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy Your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant Your blessings to every nation on earth, where there are wars, may there be peace, where there is hatred, let it be healed, where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with Your almighty power.
O Father, whence all blessings come, O Son, dispenser of God's store, O Spirit, bear offerings home, Lord, make them Yours forevermore. We thank You, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. Continue to shower them with Your blessings. May those among us celebrating a wedding anniversary be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Hear us, Lord, as we bring You our private petitions. We bring these requests before You in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask You to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to Your glory.
We give ourselves to You, that we may serve You in whatever way is pleasing in Your sight. Amen.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Morning again. Thank you also for filling out those blue connection cards so faithfully and returning them, especially then also guests among us. Please take the opportunity to fill one of those out and return it. Appreciate that. Bible study, we're looking at the Augsburg Confession still today. And if you don't have a handout from the previous week, so you should be able to find a handout copy available there in the entryway where you found the bulletins for today, the worship service. Bible study hour for kids starts in the chapel at 9:15 with singing. If you want to join them for singing, you're welcome to do that. And then Bible study here starts at 9:30. Reformation meal next week. Lord willing, we celebrate the Reformation by grace, by faith, by Scripture alone. We'll celebrate in the morning, but we also have a special service in the afternoon as we look forward to other Wells churches joining us from Reno and in Northern California at 4 o'clock here at St. Mark's. And then afterwards, we do have a fellowship meal. We're asking, if possible, if you think you're coming to that meal, that you would sign up on the sign-up sheet or email Stacy in the office that you're planning to come. Again, if you don't sign up and you still want to come to that meal, don't worry about it. Just do that. But it gives us an approximation of how much food to prepare. And also, for those who are coming to that meal, we are asking that you would bring a dessert to pass. We appreciate that. The main part of the meal will be taken care of. If you have questions about that, you can speak to Linda Haffill. And then the Nativity, live Nativity, is right around the corner too, December 10th on a Saturday from 5 to 7. A good opportunity to connect people to our ministry here, ultimately to Jesus as we celebrate his coming into the world to be our Savior. And so we're looking for volunteers. This year we are going to do it a little differently. And instead of driving through, we're going to be doing a walkthrough. Same stations, but a little more time to focus on the stations, and we'll have some campfires and stuff and other things, so you can actually, you know, stand around a warm fire and listen to the angelic choir and so forth, and a little more fellowship. So that's a new thing. But we do need the volunteers, the characters. There's at least 30 characters, and you guys could be good characters because you are already, right? So if you're interested in, you know, being a Mary or a Joseph or a shepherd or a wise guy or a donkey or whatever, talk to me or Mark LeMay. Mark LeMay is in charge of getting the characters. We need that. And then we also need volunteers behind the scenes to help set up the various stations and then to take them down. So if you're interested in any of that, again, just let me know. And we'll get you connected to the right person. Just see the weekly news for the things that are going on at church and school. And last but not least, we get connected with the work we support together with brothers and sisters throughout the world, the Wells Connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Ministry to the young people of our Synod is more important than ever. They're surrounded by a culture that's directly opposed to the beliefs and values they've learned since they were children. That presents them and those who minister to them with some real challenges. But no matter how difficult it may be, we know how vital it is to nurture the faith of a young person. One way that happens on a large scale is at the Wells International Youth Rally. As more than 2,000 young people gathered for worship, for instruction in God's Word, and, oh yeah, more than a little fun and fellowship.
I think it's awesome so far.
It's awesome. I really like it.
Best 2 out of 3, you got 30 seconds each round. Ready?
There's certainly no shortage of excitement and enthusiasm at the Wells International Youth Rally, which returned this year to the University of Tennessee.
I absolutely love it. I love how they have the bouncy houses because honestly it matches my personality.
But it's not all just fun and games at this largest regular gathering of Wells members. This year, there were over 2,000 attendees.
Koine did a great job, and then Pastor Westra, man, his message was powerful.
We join together as God's children. We confess the Christian faith that lives in our hearts.
I love, like, when we sing all together. It's so nice. I love it so much. I love just hearing everybody praising God together.
Thanks be give and adoration.
When I think of the Wells Youth Rally, it's all these young people that are wondering who else is out there that believes the same things, and to look around this stadium and see their family in Jesus and to be able to just make connections, whatever kind of connections they can make, they make, and just celebrate being Christians together and celebrate having that true word of God and sharing that bond with each other.
This 4-day event gives teens the chance to be spiritually fed through worship and small group workshops, and encouraged through the fellowship of gathering with so many others their age who share their faith.
What I really appreciate about a teen event, having all of our teens be able to come from our congregations gathered together, because not every teen goes to a Christian high school. And just being a part of a community where they are surrounded by like-minded Christians.
With this being a biennial event, however, there's a large gap of time between each youth rally. 4 days of heightened, exciting spiritual nourishment and encouragement, and then everyone goes their separate ways.
We don't just want it to be an experience at a cool place. We want to equip them. We want to equip those that are called and those that are willing to lead them and deal with them at such a critical time in their ministry.
To assist local churches in encouraging the teens of their congregation between youth rallies, the Wells Commission on Discipleship is offering resources to help keep that fire going. The first is video-based materials that youth group leaders can use to plan this type of ministry. The other is a kit for putting on youth nights. Think of these youth nights as a youth rally experience that happens on the local level. The kit is a blueprint that local congregations can adapt and make their own to best fit their ministry setting.
It is to bring about that sense of God's people getting together. It's not just necessarily kids from your own church. It's welcoming, it's inviting, it's getting kids from different areas and different places to maybe then sit down and to experience God's grace and to gather around His Word with other people that they might not often do.
Adolescence is such a critical moment in the spiritual lives of Christians. These teens are coming of age at a time in history when Christianity is under attack, when following Christ doesn't seem to be what's trending.
Whatever the different issues are that's facing them, that my generation, you know, I don't even know. It's so new to me even, and I've seen a lot. Just to let them know you're not alone, and you're the here and now.
Having so much fun and knowing that everybody like believes in the same stuff as me is so awesome.
I cringe a little bit when I hear people say that the young people of our synod are the future. They are not just the future of our synod. They are the here and now of our synod.
And I hope that they go back and say, hey, I am the now, get me plugged in. I want to be active. I want to be a part of church. I want to be a part of outreach. I want to be a part of building God's family and His community.
We hope to see you at the next Wells International Youth Rally in 2024 at Colorado State University, where we'll be celebrating 50 years of equipping and encouraging our youth. In the meantime, resources for connecting with young people at your church can be found at wellscongregationalservices.net.